Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dan Wiederer, later on, we're going to talk a little bit about Todd Monken. How do you feel about him, and what's interesting about him?
So I have tried to mute my admiration for Todd Monken because I think he would be awesome for us. This dude's a character. He has a bit of a trucker's vocabulary, Lawrence, and if your owner doesn't like swearing on Hard Knocks, they might have a little bit of a difficult time with a guy who's a little bit colorful when he speaks.
Know what the damn coverage is! The sun's in my eyes! F*** it out there!
His vocabulary is very diverse.
We've had two post routes that deform little girl.
What did Wiederer say about him?
Entertaining as hell. Like he's
no, but the thing that'll keep him from getting hired by the Bears. It's just he doesn't have, was it country club or language or something like that?
Todd Monken has, quote, a trucker's vocabulary.
There it is. Got some Smokies out here.
Man, got to play convoy as he walks in every week for the press conference.
By the time we hit that shy town, them Bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard.
Breaker, breaker, one-niner. We got a jackknife to have a nerve spreader on the highway. Over.
Roger that.
Dude, you don't have to do the sound. It already does that. Out.
Copy that. I'm not going to make the sound after I say stuff from now on. J.D. McNugent, over and out. That was the last one.
Hey, you guys got eyes on that lot lizard over there. Make sure she stays away from your calves.
Now we're getting somewhere. Bears have never hired a trucker as a head coach.
They can't cover the back of the crow unless we stink. Then we stink and fire my ass. I will to Jones Junior High.
10-4.
We got a mighty cowboy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't you beautiful?
Hey, do we understand the thing here? When I'm talking, shut the up.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Oh, hell yeah. It is Spiegel and Holmes. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
I am Lawrence Holmes. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We've been talking about the NFL weekend, which will conclude tonight. We will have the game for you here on The Score at 6:30. Vikings v. Rams at Arizona. So it'll be kind of like a bowl game, I'm guessing. But we'll be here, and we'll have the game for you at 6:30, thanks to our friends over at Westwood One. We spent a lot of time today talking about the Bears and their coaching search. If you're just jumping in, like if you're maybe even kind of really getting back into your regular routine, and you're like, hey, well, I like this show. Thank you. We appreciate that. The Bears are still looking for a head coach. They interviewed Ron Rivera yesterday. They still need to interview another minority candidate in person to fulfill the Rooney Rule. They can't really talk to Ben Johnson until January 20th. They can't talk to him then.
In person.
They have done a Zoom with him like they've done with everyone except for Ron Rivera.
I do not like that Zoom has become a euphemism for online. Due respect to Zoom, but it could have been Microsoft Teams. You don't know.
WebEx.
Yes. StreamYard.
StreamYard. Unlikely. I like StreamYard quite a bit.
Unlikely. GoToMeeting. Google Meet. We don't. No, I don't think Zoom deserves the Kleenex treatment or the Band-Aid treatment. The Xerox treatment in that regard.
A texter said that the Thomas Brown interview, they made him go into another room and put him on the Zoom too. Just so it could be an even playing field.
It just ain't right. We're at 9 completed interviews. 9! And we might, I think publicly we're at what, like 16 candidates?
I think it's closer to 19.
It's
a lot.
It feels a little crazy. I'm not going to say it's full on crazy. It just feels like a lot. They're taking their time. They're casting a wide net.
It feels like they could have gotten a lot of this stuff done earlier.
That some of that is possible, but if they're going to wait the whole time for Ben Johnson anyway, and they and if somebody jumped up and scooped up Vrabel, which maybe they knew. Remember, like, I knew that that was going to happen. Saying a Wednesday or Thursday that he was going to sign by the end of the weekend. He signed on Sunday. So, like, Vrabel was a done deal, you know? I think,
and why interview him at all?
To see what he thinks. See
get
what
his football gets, information.
See if you can get some knowledge from him. Yeah, get his football information. See what he thinks of your team. See what he thinks of the league. Get a little hint on that stuff. But, you know, I'll dig into that more over the course of the next couple of days. And I think we've got some time to let this play out. I think they're going to wait for Ben Johnson on the 20th, which is a week from today.
I think it's really interesting listening to people talk about what happened at the top of this past year's draft.
The no-brainer talent, the generational talent. Very few people, except maybe you, Lawrence Holmes, even stood up.
It's me and Sean King.
That was it. The only ones who said anything about Jaden Daniels. And Sean King said flat out he thought Jaden was better.
Yes.
He was a very rare voice going full on better.
Don't let anyone else lie to you. It was me and Sean King, and we were getting rocks thrown at us the whole time. And we were just like, Jaden Daniels might be really good. Just, you know, Caleb's good too, but Jaden Daniels might be really, really good.
I didn't throw any rocks.
Yeah, you threw verbal ones.
Did I?
You and Parkin.
Well, Danny did. You can't hold me. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not my...
I'd come in here during transition and go, hey, you guys ever watched Jaden Daniels? Heresy, I say. It's heresy. Tanny remembers.
What?
The North remembers. I come in here every day and be like, you know...
I'm getting blamed for a lot of Parkinsian BS.
You were right there with them.
Now, Speaks, you were in those pre-show meetings where Tanny and I were pitching different audio of respected analysts who like Jaden more than Caleb, and every single one was shot down because we were just fixated on this fairy tale idea that Caleb Williams might be.
The fact that Caleb was going to be the great deodorant and was going to fix everything with the Bears organization.
We had plenty of audio back in May, June, before that, March, April.
Well, I blame you guys for not standing up strong enough, myself. I lean on you guys for that. You don't even know what to do with that, do you? I'm not serious. No, I know. Look, I got excited. I know that our show at the time was perhaps a problem. Okay? I can look back on that. I can point a little bit of at least a half a thumb.
I don't think you guys were necessarily like you were excited. And it was excited.
The reality is, like, with the number one pick, any team would have taken Caleb. I wish they didn't have the number one pick. I wish they would have, you know.
I wish they would have been two?
I wish Justin would have been better the year before and they would have, like, you know, traded that pick away. You know what I mean? I wish, like, why do they have to have that number one pick?
Can you imagine if they'd had the stones to swap picks because they liked Jaden better?
We would have killed them for it, and they know it. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. I wish they would have picked, like, third or fourth.
It's also not time. It's not time to compare whether or not Caleb Williams is going to be a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels.
Hold on, Shane.
It's time to do something.
Here's what I will say. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting any of you guys do that. Because it was time to tell the world how much better Caleb was than Jaden Daniels when the draft was around, that he was generational, that he was going to totally change things. And looking at the rest of the quarterbacks, people just ignored the rest of those quarterbacks.
But see, that's a situation where it's unavoidable. When you're surrounding the draft and you're having to pick one then, that kind of proclamation is unavoidable.
This is like a bigger thing for me. Why do we have to make the proclamation?
It's the job.
But it doesn't have to be.
It does not have to be. That's why I invented Let It Play Out, America's least favorite radio segment.
That's not what people want to hear. People don't want to hear you guys go up there and say, I'm waiting. That's why we have to make that initial proclamation, and that's why we have to compare them now, but it's not time
yet. It doesn't have to be the job. But you don't have to say
you can even wait. You can just say, well, here's this guy's resume and here's this guy's resume. And what makes this guy's resume so much better than the other guys? Like, real talk. if we just talk about the resumes that those two guys have in college.
And talk about Bo Nix's resume, too, because it was similar to Jaden's.
But in the case of Jaden Daniels, he comes with the same hardware that Caleb comes
in
with.
In terms of the Heisman?
Yes.
Yeah. And he comes with, and the reason I liken it to Bo Nix, I think both of them played upwards of 50 games in multiple different systems. Caleb had only played in the one Lincoln Riley system.
I have lots of questions about Bo Nix. I am not a Bo Nix guy, and that's kind of been my stance watching him at Auburn and watching him even do really well at Oregon. I will say that my eyes have opened a little bit. He's got way better deep ball touch.
Dude, that prefers than I thought. Troy Franklin.
And I mean, if you watched him play in week 18 or week 17 and week 18, you saw some of that stuff on display. And I was like, okay, maybe there's something here, but I still don't think that he's going to come close to what Caleb can be.
Can I back up a second here?
Sure.
It is not, I don't think it's time to have a definitive conversation about whether Jaden Daniels is better, but it is undeniable to say that Jaden has had a better rookie year than Caleb Williams. He has.
I struggle with that.
Oh, I do not. It's because it's not just the numbers. Caleb's numbers are really, really good. And
pretty much identical to Jaden Daniels'
right.
numbers.
But we also watched and talked about, because we have the benefit of watching every game, that Caleb at times was not aggressive enough and trying to put the ball where it needs to go, okay? And there's other things that we can see with Jaden Daniels right now in a rookie season that to me are better. First of all, as a runner, he is a much better, and I don't know if it's going to last. And
people have been worried about this since his freshman year at Arizona State. Right. He was like 175 pounds.
And people worried about it with Lamar Jackson, who could win his third MVP.
Correct.
You know? So, like, I don't know if he's going to stay healthy, but I do know that that guy's ability to run gives him a completely different gravity on the field than it does Caleb Williams. He has a different kind of weapon because of his skills and gravity as a runner. And that is a different thing, which was more effective here in year one than that kind of thing was for Caleb. The other thing is, if you look a lot of the plays, including the big touchdown on fourth down last night and another touchdown earlier in this five-game streak, he's throwing crossers with anticipation.
He is.
A lot more often than Caleb has, frankly. Now, that has to do with the offense and the design and all of that. But Jaden's year is incredible. Offensive Rookie of the Year with good reason. And he won a playoff game. It is a better rookie year. And I still love Caleb and think that I would probably take Caleb long term. At the very least, I'm not going to write off anything. But Jaden's had a better rookie year. And I don't think that's sacrilegious to say.
I just think that I am controlling for, if I had the two guys switch places, do you think that their numbers would be similar? And I don't, as much as I love Jaden, I don't know if that would have been the case.
If Caleb was there with Kingsbury and Quinn?
And the choices that are made, and the idea of, why don't we build, instead of trying to build something that's outrageous, why don't we build off of what you already know and you already love? And that's what they did with Jaden Daniels down there in D.C. They started him out like, let's do what you like doing. Great. Now let's build off of it. And we're going to put the ball in your hands on fourth down. We're going to put the ball in your hands on goal to go. Oh, and also your offensive coordinator isn't an idiot. And also that he isn't fired halfway through. I know that I'm a Justin guy and a Jaden guy to a lot of people. I have a lot of sympathy for what Caleb went through.
That's fair.
And I think it's remarkable what his numbers end up being because of the situation that he was in. He had an idiot head coach and an idiot offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they completely
botched
his season.
And a terrible offensive line.
Yep. And that's why I'm saying you can't compare it yet. That's why I'm saying it's not time yet. Can I offer you a little bit of perspective? Maybe a nice comparison. Let's say you guys are about to be born, right? You both have the same due date.
I'm very excited about that.
Both of your parents are great athletes. We have high anticipation for both of you. You're both going to come out being great kids, really good people. But Spiegs,
yes.
During the pregnancy, your mom becomes addicted to pills and your dad walks out. So you're being raised with a junkie mother and an absent father. And Lawrence, your parents were right there. and they reared you perfectly.
It's true.
And they showed you exactly how to become a man and exactly how to become a radio host and a scholar and whatever. Lawrence, you are Jaden Daniels. Speaks, you are Caleb Williams. Your mother's a junkie. Your dad's absent. You were not brought up the right way.
Let's make sure that what we're saying here in this particular example, the mother is the Bears.
Correct.
Okay.
I know nothing about Speaks' mom actually being a junkie.
Well, I was more worried about Caleb and his mom and dad.
No.
I want to make sure when that gets clipped off that there is at least a portion of us explaining what you're talking about is
your
the Bears.
Your parents are the Bears and the Commanders, respectively.
Yeah, well, what we have is the goat of radio analogies stepping into the fray and just delivering. Like, really, that was strong. I think as far as radio station analogies, I'm a fan, and I give that highest marks.
Thank you.
So last night, I'm driving around, and I'm listening to the Westwood One call on this, and I was listening to the pregame. And so it was our buddy Jason Benetti, and Mike Mayock was the color guy, and Laura Oakman was on sidelines. This is what Mayock said about Jaden Daniels, and I got to admit, even as a Jaden guy, it took me aback.
Washington fans are hoping it's like 19 years ago in this very place when Mark Brunell led Washington to a 17-10 win on the back of seven completions. It was the last Washington playoff win that day, January 7th, 2006. Been a long time, but I don't know that they've been as fired up about a team in our nation's capital than they are right now for this sixth seed with Jaden Daniels leading the charge.
And they should be. And you're talking about a team that's had ineptitude of leadership from the top down. And all of a sudden, new GM, Adam Peters, new head coach, Dan Quinn, the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, is the main reason they've gone from four wins to 12 wins. They've done a great job in free agency. The rest of the draft was outstanding, but make no mistake about it, he's the biggest difference maker in the draft since Lamar Jackson.
Biggest difference maker in the draft since Lamar Jackson. His rookie year, his ability to run, and his deep ball touch, man. His deep ball touch in the face of getting clobbered. I remember you hopping in the group thread when he made that throw to McLaurin on a Monday night to win a walk-off. Remember that?
Yes.
How about the throw to McLaurin last night, early on? The deep ball down the left side.
When he was given opportunity, like they were running mostly a horizontal passing game. And when he got his opportunity, this is where there is a legitimate difference in their rookie season.
That's what I'm saying. Caleb has not shown the deep ball accuracy, and I worry about it a little bit. There's been a lot of issues and a lot of problems, but when you also throw his aversion to interceptions, which Kurt Warner talked about, and of course that's a good thing, but you got to be able and willing to put the ball close. I haven't seen it yet the way that I need to see it, and Jaden's shown it all year long.
I also think, and this is the unfortunate part, that there's a trust issue here. And with Caleb, the worry is, does what happened to him damage him? Because the trust issue is, I don't trust that I'm going to have enough time to make this throw. I don't trust that that guy's going to either sit or keep running with the route that I'm going to throw, because how many times that happened early in the season with DJ Moore, they seemingly got on the same page. It kept happening with Rome. Through week 18, it kept happening where Caleb would be like, I thought you were going to go there.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to go right here. And both of them are right, and both of them are wrong.
They're running an offense of a guy who got fired 2 months ago, and even the head coach is like, it's not my offense. So right. That, to be fair to Caleb, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the problem is that sometimes this stuff gets messy because is he a guy that tries to make a hero ball play sometimes too much, like he himself admitted a couple of weeks ago? Or is he damaged by the fact that the O-line sucks and is...
That's like, my worry.
And you don't know. You don't know what's what in that soup.
Let's continue this conversation because there's actually more opinion on it. There's more opinion from people in the league about it, on how they feel about the two guys. We'll keep talking about it. Any regrets? We're discussing it. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Go ahead, listeners. Get that stirred up.
All right. Well, it's definitely stirred up now. You know, you're on the...
He's the best. No,
no, you know, I don't know. Nobody listens to me. That's fine.
But, this is the most popular radio show in Chicago.
Well, so. I know. Okay. You said it launched, not me, but...
We'll send you the book.
Yeah, send me the book.
Afternoons on the Score.
Send everyone the book. By the way, are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial aired during Super Bowl 59 right here on The Score? See, we carry the Super Bowl here, thanks to our friends over at Westwood One. It's like the highest rated thing that happens on the station. And you could have your commercial run on it. We had a really great thing happen last year with Cafe El Tapatio.
Yes.
They were so great, and we ran a bunch of their commercials, not just the one during the Super Bowl. You can be a part of this. Go to 670thescore.com/contest. If you know that there's a great local business and you want to nominate it, if you run a great local business and you want to nominate it, 670thescore.com/contest. Enter. We will put together the commercial for you, and then it'll run during Super Bowl 59, and a ton of people will hear about your awesome local business. So, Mike Mayock wasn't the only person, Speaks, that had some questions about whether or not the Bears got this right.
Yeah, this is a guy who I think you need to add to your short list of people that were into Jaden over Caleb, right?
No, you're right. Ross Tucker definitely belongs on that list. He was also getting rocks thrown at him by people in Chicago, including the Parkins and Spiegel show. Yeah, you're going to wear it, fella.
Okay.
You guys are going to have to wear that.
All right. I'll hopefully wear that.
In a year from now, when it's the Holmes and Parkins show.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're doing Cubs baseball. Because Friday's interview is going to go okay. See, that's a callback.
You're out. Yeah, I know, but you're out here starting trouble.
Hold on. Why am I not allowed to start trouble on this bleeping show?
Because I'm the trouble starter, and then you clean it up and keep us.
My Prodigy.
I'm your trouble starter. Y'all get your trouble starter.
That guy, man.
See, that's why we're a good team.
Yeah. I'm the trouble starter. Then you're the clean it up and keep us employed guy.
I'm doing the best I can.
Damn, where were you in like May of like a year and a half ago?
We kept you employed.
Oh, that's right.
By the skin of our teeth. I'll do it again.
I was doing my goalie thing someplace else.
Blocking shots left and right.
God, I was
solving crossword puzzles.
Doing this.
You're doing all kinds of stuff. I'm
kicking my skates up and just. Trying to
kick,
get us,
save it a beauty.
Trying to get us off the ice.
All right, Petty Watt.
That's all I was doing.
Goalie equipment is expensive.
Luckily, he knows a guy that can get it cheap.
A stone cutter.
You guys are at least stone cutter alone.
I like stone cutter.
You're going to show up here, and then what you going to do?
I'm going to get my stones cut.
So speak. So Ross Tucker, he was on with M&H, right? With Mully and...
Yes, yes, he was the former Princeton grad and NFL offensive lineman.
He kind of took a little bit of a victory lap on the Jaden Daniels thing too. And if you are a big Caleb supporter, you might not like this.
Did the Bears draft the wrong quarterback, in your opinion?
Yes. Yeah, I would say yes. Like I would take Jaden Daniels 10 times out of 10 over Caleb Williams now. The reason why I say that is Jaden Daniels is already a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Caleb is not a top 20 quarterback in the NFL, right? So unless Jaden Daniels takes a step back, what are the odds that Caleb becomes a top 10 quarterback? Now, that being said, the thing that's in the Bears' favor and in Caleb's favor is last year I thought C.J. Stroud had the best rookie season I've ever seen for a quarterback, ever. I mean, to lead the NFL in yards passing per game and touchdown interception ratio, only been done two other times, Tom Brady and Joe Montana, and then C.J. Stroud last year as a rookie. And I also thought Bryce Young was clearly the worst quarterback in the NFL last year. And now this year, I don't know, they kind of were about similar. They kind of were even. So, well, I would take Jaden Daniels 10 times out of 10 over Caleb Williams. The reality is let's say Jaden Daniels is, I'm just throwing numbers out there, the eighth best quarterback in the NFL, and Caleb's 23rd. I'm just throwing it out there. That's much less ground to make up than Stroud being like fifth last year and Bryce Young being 32nd. And now both those guys might be around 15th or 16th with the way they played this year. So it can happen with the right coaching, but two things had to happen for that to be the case, right? CJ Stroud had to really take a step back, and Bryce Young had to really take a step forward. That would have to be the case again for Caleb Williams to be a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels next year.
Yeah, Ross talked about it a lot this morning, and he was a Jaden guy. And at the end of the rookie season, it's just saying in a bubble that one guy had a better season than the other. It context matters a great deal for all the reasons that we've discussed. But would you agree with this basic thing?
No.
That's too bad.
Go ahead. Bad.
That Jaden is a better runner who creates a different kind of gravity. It may not last. It may get scary.
He may get broken up.
He may get broken up. But as of right now, I watch him and I see Lamar Jackson in terms of the gravity that he creates and the ceiling of possibilities, because he also seems to stay calm and not panic and make lots of good, accurate decisions while also having that gravity, which makes him unique.
Here's what I would say. I think Jaden Daniels is more definitive when he runs. I think Caleb, when he has been like, forget which game it was, maybe it was the first Packers game where he was like, no, I'm going to run. I thought that he did a great job with it. But I think that it has to.
Jacksonville game in London, too.
Yeah, I just think that it has to do with how both guys are wired. I think that Caleb is a lot more Russ. And that's good. Like, I think that that's a really good thing, because we were talking about a guy who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory before the last three seasons happened. I think that Caleb is often looking to open up windows to throw the ball. And he hasn't either gotten on the same page. There isn't as much trust there, that part. With Jaden Daniels, I think that he goes, oh, I'm going. And you saw it last night.
Yeah,
you saw
did.
It on fourth down last night with Jaden Daniels, where he's like, I'm going to go get those 2 yards.
Well, but he knows he's faster. He knows he's faster, and he's got
longer
more
strider. He's a glider. He's faster than you think. And that is similar to Lamar. Like, we all know Lamar is fast, and then you see him, and it's like, it doesn't even look like he's running that hard. And then you're like, oh, he ran at 22 miles an hour.
And it's just like, we're just talking the different styles, and we're just checking it out. I'm not anti-Caleb here, but we're just talking about it. Caleb sometimes thinks he's a little faster than he is.
Maybe.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say that he probably thinks that he's a better athlete than he is compared to who he's playing against.
It's the NFL now, man.
And he's going to have to...
He's going to have to adjust for that.
He's going to have to figure that out. But I will also say Caleb,
yeah,
there were moments where he did stuff in the pocket that I was like, oh my God. Like, it's not like Caleb didn't give us those moments where he's ducking underneath a tackler,
resetting the
pocket, and then making a throw.
Uh-huh.
That stuff is still there. And I know that because the season went the way that it did, and there were times where you're like, man, he missed this big throw, or he didn't have the right touch, that it feels worse than it actually was. You could put an incredible highlight tape together of Caleb Williams.
The special
and the Bears
is
half.
There. The special is there. The special is there, and he did. He showed it to us a lot. I just need to see more of a willingness to do the basics and get the ball out faster, because you're not always going to be able to break contain the way that you did. And he knows it. It's just learning curve stuff, man.
Who was teaching him the basics?
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Speaks junkie mom.
Right.
That's who was teaching him the basics.
They basically allowed for Caleb to kind of, he had to teach himself.
Yeah.
Until we get all the way down to Thomas Brown.
My mom got
being
hooked.
His offensive coordinator.
She got hooked on three wide receiver sets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She got hooked on Gerald Everett and Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah.
You know?
We always knew she was a bad talent evaluator. Can we at least agree that Ross Tucker clip is trash?
Yeah, there was other Ross that was better.
Absolute
there
trash.
There was some circuitous logic going on.
Right, he's like, all right, well, here's the thing. If Jaden's good and he's top 10 and Caleb isn't, then
you got to get to 15.
Jaden's better quarterback. Yeah. All right, dude.
10 times out of 10 seems a little much.
Ridiculous.
And remember who's talking. Someone who loved Jaden Daniels coming out of college. My feeling on it was it's close. I probably still would have ranked them Caleb 1, Daniels 2 if I was riding the beast. But to me, it was close, and it was close enough to discuss. 10 out of 10, I can't get on board with that at all. Because if you did this, if you worked it out, if you wouldn't do that. You would go, okay, well, this is what it looks like if Jaden is at the top and then Caleb is at number 2. I think it's close enough either way for you to be like, both of these guys have a chance to be really, really good.
I admit that I am definitely reeling from a disaster of a rookie season in terms of setting a quarterback up for success. They hired the wrong OC who did not skew the system to his strengths and ask him to do way too much.
They keep doing it.
It's so pitiful.
And that, to me, is the brilliance of Caleb Williams' season, is that even with this, even with everything that he went through, he did some really cool stuff, stuff that most Bears fans have never seen. So to me, that there's still an opportunity for, like, him being great, it should not be off the table.
It's not off the table, but I don't think how anyone could argue that Jaden has not had a better rookie year. I think that's incredibly fair and basic. And I'm not Ross Tucker.
You're basic. Basic bitch.
Man, the tension is starting to get real.
How about that?
Around here. I can't wait for bad cop, baseball cop. I think that's what we're calling the dynamic on Friday.
No, good cop, black cop.
But all right, so I'm the black cop. Cool.
No, not at all.
Come on,
I'm definitely
man.
Not the good cop.
I want to be the black cop. Why can't I ever be the black cop?
We know you do. We know.
I want to be Gregory Hines in Running Scared. You remember
that
one?
Movie.
I love that movie. It's Chicago.
Just we free.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They had so much fun in that video,
too.
Oh,
dude. So when you do Michael McDonald there, I, of course, think of the female Michael McDonald.
We keep the spirit alive. Yeah. Hold it.
Oh, very nice. Who's the female Michael McDonald?
Anita Baker,
Baker. Baby, I believe in this love. Sweet love. And,
apparently.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
Who are you talking about? You talking about Lawrence or me?
Please.
Right there.
Lawrence's Michael McDonald was really good.
It was really good. It was really, really good.
I spent a lot of time listening to his music. Blue Eyed Soul, baby.
Oh, man, yeah. And Yacht Rock, little Yacht Rock in there.
Hell yeah. What are we doing next? I forgot.
I don't know.
I forgot.
Say it like you mean it.
Hey.
What next? Are we doing next, Taddy?
High time!
I like when she takes the tag off his cap. That's funny.
I don't like that commercial.
It's a really good commercial.
I disagree. I want to punch that commercial in the face.
All right, we'll talk about that next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 The Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on The Score.
Love going to take a shot going deep down the far side. And intercepted! Darius Slay, stride for stride, picks it off!
The Packers offense didn't look great yesterday, but the Packers offensive coordinator could look good in orange and blue. Adam Stinovich is someone that the Bears have requested to speak with, according to Tom Pelissero.
I think that's 20. I believe that gets us to 20. And Adam Stinovich, the offensive coordinator.
Sure, why not? Well, I mean, you look at some of the things that Jordan Love has accomplished, and you say, all right, let's see what you think of our guy.
You look at the stuff that Matt LaFleur has designed, and you get some information during the course of the interview. You know what's cool about Stinovich is that a lot of OCs have quarterback backgrounds. We know Thomas Brown was a running back. Stinovich was an offensive lineman, an offensive line coach. So
I like that.
He's got the guy who thinks offensive line first.
Will he bring Luke Butkus with him?
Maybe.
Might as well.
Make things right with the world.
Yeah.
Bears could, I think, use some offensive line coaching.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
What's wrong with Chris Morgan? That guy's going to survive the next. What was the bomb
apocalypse?
In Russia?
Apocalypse.
Chernobyl.
Yeah, not a bomb.
Acid attack. Or
nope,
whatever.
Not an acid.
Radiation.
I know that I've been very, very fair to people, but
you have.
I would also say that Chris Morgan is running. I have. Chris Morgan is
me?
Not you. You don't deserve it.
And my people?
Hell week guy.
Oh, my wife's birthday.
It falls on
the same day as my son's birthday.
I have these two people who love me so much, and we're going to have like this great time when I give them their awesome gifts.
Oh, no.
I hate it here. I hate it here.
More than home right now?
Not tomorrow.
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I'll love it here.
I'll be racing to get here. Tomorrow.
Run into my open arms. So,
and now I come to you. So why are you fair to people?
I was just going to say to Chris Morgan that they did bring him back and they're running a system that he had no idea that wasn't really the plan.
They're like, I know what we'll do. We'll put him and Shane Waldron together.
And they don't fit.
What are you doing?
But that's, hey, you want some good news?
Yeah.
It's almost unbelievable that this happened, but it happened. And we've been talking about it on this show.
Okay.
You know LiAngelo Ball's record?
Yeah. Tweaker.
He just signed a deal with Roc Nation.
Oh, my God.
For $13 million.
What?
I'm sorry, with Def Jam. Not with Roc Nation, with Def Jam. LiAngelo Ball has got a deal with Def Jam worth $13 million.
Is that still Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin?
I don't think so, but you never know. $8 million guaranteed.
What the hell, man? For that thing?
Yep. Hey, man, he made a bop.
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here you go.
It's good news for Chuck.
I don't think Chuck's getting a piece.
I think he's going to use Chuck as a vocalist.
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Come on, man, get a whole verse of that.
What? Just make sure you bring the donuts
to everybody in the studio
in Indianapolis.
Oh, it'd be so cool if he's got Chuck Swirsky on a verse for the next big collab.
Hey, you know we mess with Chuck, but if you watch the. If you watch the Vince Carter documentary, There's a whole country that loves Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Steph Curry loves Chuck. Like, they got a thing. It's very cool. So, the not good news department is that the Cubs are out in the Rookie Society.
Wait a minute. You said earlier that they were still in.
And then they're out. The finalists are the Blue Jays.
Well,
and the Padres and the Dodgers.
Well, it looks like it's going to be black cop, bad cop on Friday.
And once again, you are both black cop.
Coming up after an episode of Matlock.
That's Montez. Montez got in trouble with the law. Who came to...
Oh, the old voiceover guy's back.
He's back. He figured it didn't work for Montez.
New BO guy got fired along with Floos.
Well, he did. That's too bad.
The old guy had some questionable stuff on his computer.
So, Tanny, I meant to send this to you. I saw it yesterday, and I enjoyed it immensely. They apparently, I don't know if you knew this, but there's a guy on the Chargers named Scott Matlock. So he ended up coming in to do like a promo for the show.
Oh, that's tremendous.
And so he went over there, and he's like, he was explaining to Matlock that, hey, we say bolt up. Because she's like, I don't, what does that even mean? And she's like, well, we're the Chargers, and these are bolts. And she was like, okay. So they, like, the outtakes of it are pretty funny. So it might be something that we can play around with later on this week.
Okay.
But Kathy Bates was hilarious in it. And so was Matlock. Matlock.
Hmm.
Still needs to do that segment.
Those are locks that I offer you that are called Matlocks. I kind of do want to hear it. Do we have time? Tanny went and grabbed something because we were looking.
Yeah,
for
you guys
were
like, hey, what are we doing next segment, Tanny? And I'm like, I don't know. Just grab something, making fun of Dustin. So, which is what we did.
You nailed it.
This morning, I'm up listening to the Pick Six as I'm one to do, as you all should be doing, all the listeners out there.
Morning, Tanny.
Dustin kind of ruined the sanctity of the pick six this morning. Yeah, can you believe it?
Hey, how serious do you think the Bears are about interviewing Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman, and why did that report come Sunday morning?
This is not a non-story, but it is a non-starter. Good luck with that. Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen. Hey, my favorite NFL team. Stay away from my favorite college football team's head coach. So Marcus Freeman was making $6.69 million. David just told you now he's making, we can assume, north of nine. You know, will the Bears pay the next head coach $9 million? Right? I mean, I don't think so. He's also signed through 2030.
Yeah.
So you got to imagine, they're not. We don't know because it's a private institution. You got to imagine the buyout's astronomical, which means that, you know, Marcus Freeman would be in charge of paying Notre Dame in order to leave, which means the Bears would have to create that pot of money for Marcus Freeman to hand back to Notre Dame, which is not going to happen. What we really at some point can talk about is how disrespectful the line makers are. Notre Dame a nine. What did I miss when I watched the game? Ohio State won, but the 20, I mean, give me a break.
This has nothing to do with the coach.
Disrespectful.
I know, but now you've gone off the deep end and you're ranting.
Wow.
Disrespected.
Okay. That's shocking.
That's a wrap.
He did. He lost the plot. He just kind of kept talking.
He had some things that he wanted to get off his chest.
And changed the storylines. And no, you must respect the sanctity and structure of the pick six. Mully was ready. David goes first. Dustin goes second. Then Mully goes third. And then the next time, Mully goes first. And then Dustin goes second. David goes third. It's just how it works. Get it together.
Do you think?
No, he doesn't.
Shout out to Dustino.
Are you surprised that Matt Spiegel calls the birthday of his wife and son Hell Week?
I don't think you are surprised.
That's a really good question.
Morning, Speaks. Morning, Molly. Morning, Lawrence. Just getting ready for Good Cop, Black Cop. On Friday. That's not enough cops. We need more cops.
I feel like after this news today, like I said.
What?
Black cop, bad cop.
Black cop, bad cop. I like it.
That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's Matt Spiegel.
Hey, tomorrow, he's Lawrence Holmes, by the way. Tomorrow, we got a couple looks at interesting coaching places. Dirk Cutter, who once was the head coach when Todd Monken was his offensive coordinator and has a long history of Bears-related things. Dirk Cutter will be on the show. And Logan Paulson. His name is Logan Paulson. And he knows all things Washington. So we can talk about Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. And
he's really good.
He's really, really good. So that'll be two good guests to add into our football conversation tomorrow.
It's going
to
be outstanding. For Tanny, for Shane, for Spiegs, I'm Lawrence saying, hey, we appreciate all the love and support you show this show. We will do our best to do the same and repay the favor tomorrow, too, here on The Score.
I can't even comment on it. I mean, I have never seen anything like this in all my life.